Father, your anointing that destroys every yoke of bondage. Lord, we thank you tonight that your word, you're going to open up your word to us, reveal yourself to us, Father. We're not going to be the same. We came in one way, we're going to leave another way. We just trust you, Father, that you have every need that and everything that's concerning us already worked out. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Amen, amen. You can be seated. Thank you, Jesus. You know, before I preach or teach, I wanted to, we were worshiping, this came to me, and so I know this is for someone, okay? The Bible talks about, several times you can see in the New Testament, it says, grace and peace, 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 grace and peace. You have several times, correct? Have y'all seen that? Okay, so what does that mean? What does that mean? Grace and peace. Everybody say grace and peace. You go together. They go together like peas and carrots. Like Greg and Janice. Like Pastor Bob and Joy. Amen. And so what else does that mean? It means when you leave peace, you've left grace. And that's not condemnation. It's just a barometer that will help you stay inside God's rest and inside faith. And I know when I, Dan was talking about, our responsibilities there at Karis Bible College. And when I came in, I was there to help Wendell. Y'all remember Wendell Parr? And I helped Wendell, and he was over all of the Bible colleges worldwide, and so I helped him. And then I oversaw the ministry business school and then the ministry school. And then I became the dean of education. I knew how to pastor. I didn't know what a dean did. No, David, what a dean did. And so I just had to, so when I moved into that role of dean, I had to lean into deaning grace. Okay? I just leaned into his grace. And I just got comfortable. Just got comfortable, Cindy, with deaning grace. And then they promoted my boss, who was actually Wendell moved into a different role, and now Gary is over all of the extension schools and all the AWM offices anyway. So then they asked me to be the director of the Bible College. And so that was like going from flying a Cessna 172 to flying a 747. There's a lot of decisions come at you. We have 700 plus students and a lot of things, happening, but I just decided, first of all, I'm going to be able to teach, so I'm not going to give up teaching. And then I'm still over the ministry school. We're sending pastors out all over the world. It's awesome. I love that. But I said, look, I'm not going to leave peace to do this job. Amen. Now somebody needs to hear that tonight. Okay? Somebody's left peace to try to do whatever you're called to do. You either don't feel adequate, you don't feel the skill, you don't have the experience, or it's a challenge, it's beyond you in the natural. Well, when God asks you to do something, He's never asking you to depend on the natural. And so I've just decided I'm not leaving God's grace or peace to do what I'm asked to do. And you know what? It works. I lean into His grace. And so someone here needs to take a chill pill. Seriously. I'm speaking to someone. I mean, you're going to have to get this so I can go on and preach my message, okay? But somebody needs to take a chill pill Okay? And stop. God's not asking you to leave peace or to do whatever He's called you to do. And I'm not going to do it. And you don't have to do it either. And when you leave peace, you've left grace. And that's not a place to be. So I'm speaking to whoever that is. I speak grace and peace to you. Grace and peace to you. If you receive that, just lift your hand. Grace and peace to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so open your Bibles to wherever you want. I'm going to get to Proverbs 14, I think, in a minute. Let me tell you a funny. Is that okay? This is called How to Call the Police When You're Old and Don't Move Fast Anymore. George Phillips, an elderly man from Walled Lake, Michigan, was going up to bed one night when his wife told him that he'd left the light on in the garden shed, which she could see from the bedroom window. George opened the back door to go turn off the light, but he saw that there were people in the shed stealing things. He phoned the police, who asked, "Is someone in your house, sir?" And he said, "No, but some people are breaking into my garden shed and stealing from me." Then the police dispatcher said, "All patrols are busy now. You should lock your doors, and an officer will be along when one's available." George said, "Okay." Hung up the phone, counted to 30. Then he phoned the police again. He said, "Hello, sir. I just called you a few seconds ago because there were people stealing things from my shed. Well, you don't have to worry about them now because I just shot them and killed them both, and my dogs are eating them right now." And he hung up. Within 4 minutes, six police cars, a SWAT team, a helicopter, two fire trucks, a paramedic, and an ambulance showed up at the Phillips residence and caught the burglars red-handed. One of the policemen said to George, "I thought you said you'd shot them." George said, "I thought you said there was nobody available." Oh, man, that's funny. I don't care who you are. That is awesome. So don't mess with older folk. Amen. All right, Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs 14 and verse 30. Let's look there. Proverbs 14 and verse 30. A sound heart is life to the body, but envy is rottenness to the bones. A sound heart, everybody say a sound heart. A sound heart is life to the body, and envy is the rottenness the bones. The word sound here means to be cured, proper, delivered, wholesome, yielding, healed. It means to be cured, proper, delivered, wholesome, yielding, and healed. The Amplified Version says a calm and undisturbed mind and heart are the life and health of the body, but envy, jealousy, and wrath are like rottenness of the bones. In other words, what's going on in our hearts? The soulish part of our hearts affects our bodies. We know that our spirits are perfect, our spirits are whole, our spirits are pure, our spirits are blameless, right? They're righteous. I mean, all these things. We have the nature of God in our spirit, but are not automatically so in our souls, our mind, will, and emotions. But what goes on in our hearts affects our souls. And I want to talk to you tonight about healing for the broken heart, because I've discovered over the years pastoring 27 years and being in ministry approximately 40 years, I've discovered there are as many or more people who have need of healing in their heart as they do in their bodies. And in fact, I'm going to prove to you that what goes on in your heart many times is the reason for why things are happening in our bodies. Are you hearing me? 3 John verse 2 says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." And he's connecting what's going on in your soul with what's going on in your physical body. Can you see that?
Yes.
How many of you can see that? Yes. So I wrote a book on a prosperous soul, and it's what's going on. Did you have it, sir, back here? Okay, if you come up after the service, I'll sign it, and it'll be worth $19.95 then. Praise God. After Dan told you all those wonderful things about me. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I'll sign it for you. But the whole premise of that book is that he says here that he wants us to prosper financially and be in health physically, but it's according to, or even as, or as much as our soul prospers. And when I read that, it was just like it was bells and whistles going off in me that we need to know what it is that will cause our soul to prosper. And the question is, how is it with your soul? How is it with your soul? What we tolerate in the soulish part of our hearts can affect our health and physical well-being. And I'll give you another verse that goes along with that, Proverbs 4:23. And this is, I know you've read and heard this taught and everything before, but when you understand what the meaning of it is, it's powerful. It says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." Keep your heart with all diligence, out of it spring the issues of life. It's really, really important here that we understand what that word issues means. Okay? He wants us to keep our heart, guard our heart, because out of our heart flows the issues of life. The word issues in the Hebrew means borders, boundaries, outgoings, escape, and source. Borders and boundaries. The borders and boundaries of our lives are impacted by what we let go on in our hearts. The borders and boundaries of our lives can be restricted or enlarged by what we let go on in our hearts. In other words, your potential in life, that's exactly what 3 John 2 said, that your potential in life is impacted by what you let go on in your heart. And if you believe the wrong things, if your heart's all messed up with envy and jealousy and offense and pride and all those things, it's going to restrict. It's going to cause you to be very narrow in what you're going to be able to do with your potential. What goes on in your heart? And man, I don't know about you, but I want my heart free. And I'm talking about the soulish part of my heart. Okay? I'm talking about my mind, will, and emotions, because again, my spirit man is free. And what I discovered was I'm trying not to get to it yet. We'll talk about it in just a moment. But what I discovered was, after I got back from the hospital, and a few months later, I discovered, and I'll get into that in a minute, that there were some things that were going on in my heart prior to when I went to the hospital that I believe impacted, that it gave the enemy place. and impacted my life. I was busy at the time too, and we were traveling too much, and so we've cut back and we found a rhythm of grace there, but it wasn't just that. There were some things that happened. And Jesus, Luke 4:18 said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he sent me to heal the brokenhearted." He sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Now Jesus is the healer of our bodies, isn't he? But can I tell you that he's also the healer of the brokenhearted? He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and so on. But Jesus is the healer of the brokenhearted. Yes? And by the way, his church has been sent to do whatever he's called to do. Jesus said, you know, the works that I do, you'll do also, right? And then John 20, verse 21, as the Father sent me, so send I you. Jesus is the healer of the brokenhearted. Look at your neighbor, say he's talking to you. He sent us to heal the brokenhearted. But look, guys, how are we going to do that if we're not letting Jesus heal our hearts? And whenever you go through rejection, you go through a disappointment, you go through a loss, you go through some event that was painful, that was hurtful, it's like it was a low blow, you got the wind knocked out of you. Any of you ever been there? The rest of you, I'm going to have an altar call for liars. I'm going to have an altar call for liars. How many of you ever been there? No, man, we all have. I mean, it's called life. You go through it. And usually it's through a brother or sister that you had close fellowship with. Because you're not expecting that from other people, but those that you're close to. And it just, and certainly you weren't expecting it from them. And then your heart got hurt. And if you don't process the hurt in your heart, the enemy will restrict you from your potential. A sound heart is life to the body. What's the opposite of that? It's not good to the body. He said, you'll prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. And then here he said, guard your heart with all diligence, because out of it flows the issues of the borders and boundaries of your life. You look it up. That's exactly what it means, the borders and boundaries of your life. And I believe it's time that you and I learn to do what we've been sent to do and anointed to do, is to heal the brokenhearted. But also we've got to guard our hearts whenever that happens to us. Yeah? You know, you can read in this is not on the list that I gave Richard for this, so don't worry about looking it up. But Proverbs, you can look it up yourself. Proverbs 7:26, talking about the seductress, okay? It said that she cast down many wounded. Well, look at that. He's already got it. Diana's got it tonight, okay? So she cast down many wounded. It didn't say, notice, it didn't say she wounded many. It says she cast down what group of people? The wounded. See, when you get wounded, you go through rejection, you go through loss, you go through hurt like that. Guys, we've got to guard our hearts. I don't care how spiritual you think you are. You've got to guard your heart. Are you hearing me? Now let's look over at Hebrews 12, and I'm going to tell you a couple of verses, and I'll tell you my story of what I went through and what God showed me, because I didn't realize what had happened to me, and then God showed me that I'd let my heart get hurt, and I didn't process it because we were so busy, and it opened a door to the enemy, And guys, I just gave you enough verses for you to see that that's true. And yet, but Jesus is the healer of the brokenhearted, isn't he? So if he's a healer of the brokenhearted, he's going to heal your broken heart. You want him to heal your body. And here's what I'm going to tell you tonight, that there's many of you that have issues in your body because you've got issues in your heart. And it's unconscious. You didn't intend it. It's not like it's, you know. But the enemy is finding access to you because you're not letting Jesus, the healer of the brokenhearted, heal your heart. You're focusing on your body. If you let God heal your heart, the life and the resurrection power on the inside of your body will manifest, on the inside of your spirit, man, will manifest in your mortal flesh. Yeah? So look at Hebrews chapter 12 and look at verse 12. Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that which is lame may not be dislocated, but let it rather be healed. Let what be healed? What is he talking about there? What part of is he telling us to be healed there? Well, I want to submit to you, this is a clear reference to your heart, because verse 12 is connected to verse 13 that speaks of a possibility of a root of bitterness springing up in us. And where is it that a root of bitterness would spring up in us, in our hearts, causing trouble and defiling many? And it's a shattered, broken heart that has not been healed. And he's telling us there, here, you let it be healed. You let it be healed. How many of you have ever been in a place where you had a disappointment, a loss, you went through rejection or something, and in your head is where your feet were last, spiritually, I mean, emotionally? Yeah, I mean, it was a low blow. You didn't expect it. You didn't see it coming. All of this. Well, that's what happens, that's what he's talking about when he said when your hands are hanging down and your knees are feeble. It's like you can't hardly put one foot in front of the other because of what happened, and you haven't processed it yet. And he said, but now watch. He said, don't let that which is lame become dislocated or dislodged. Okay, and what the enemy's after is taking, he's trying to take that hurt, that rejection, that loss, that pain, and he's trying to dislodge you. He's trying to dislodge you from your relationship with God, from other key relationships, from your purpose, from your joy, from your peace. He's trying to dislodge you so that in your the soulish part of your heart, you don't process it right, and then so then he can afflict you with all kinds of garbage. That's part of the kingdom of darkness that we have authority over. But he said, you let it be healed. Don't stay lame. And don't let what's lame, I mean, I've been lame before. I mean, when we went through an involuntary church plant, otherwise known as a church split, after we had a $9 million lawsuit that was a frivolous counseling lawsuit. You know, I mean, you know, everybody believes you in town when your name's on the Wise County Messenger, just north of here, and you're on the not Wise County Messenger. Pastor is sued for $9 million. My daughter read it and she said, Daddy, I didn't know you had $9 million. Let's go shopping. Hallelujah. And my worship leader took a third of my congregation. I said, God, my worship leader took a third of my congregation. And he said, don't worry about it, son. He said, you're in good company. My worship leader took a third of my congregation too. But my heart was hurt because we poured ourselves into those people, and now a third of our people were gone. And it wasn't just the fact that they were gone. You go to Walmart and they turn their back on you. And you know how sweet we are. And they just turned our back on us, man. And of course, then, you know what? I'd talked with Pastor Bob. In fact, you know, this was in 1994. And he gave me his card. And he said, and you can see it's still tattered and torn, but it's got his home number on it. And he said, if everything, he told me what to do. And he said, if you do what I tell you to do and everything hits a fan, he said, you call me. And I've still got this card today. This is a life to me. And you know, he came on Robbie's last baseball game. I think, I don't know, maybe Robbie was 11 or something. And I don't know, or 12, 9. So, I mean, it was on Robbie's last baseball game. He left to come and save our church and save my ministry. And then he told me, he said, well, Pastor, what do you need me to do now? He said, well, I want you to come to prayer 5:42 in the morning. I forget, was it 2 or 3 days a week? I don't know. And I'm in Decatur, Texas. Well, anyway, we came 3 days a week. Dear Jesus, I got to get up at 4 in the morning. Do you understand? My wife's a morning person. I am not a morning person. Leonard, I'm not a morning person. And so that was a sacrifice for me. But we came in, and man, God began to deal with us and speak to us. And then Pastor brought us into a staff meeting, and he treated us like kings, which we are. I mean, all of us are. But he valued us, and then he, you know, later he platformed us. And, you know, Janice and I would not be where we are today without Pastor and Joy and Calvary Cathedral. And they helped us get our hearts healed. And I know I was driving down here on one of those ungodly hours in the morning, I was just crying out to God. I was saying, you know, Lord, I know I've forgiven those people. You know, I mean, look, the lawsuit got, it was just a frivolous lawsuit that got dropped. And I think it cost us $50,000 of attorney fees that an insurance policy that we had, $25 a year insurance policy, paid for. But, you know, it was just frivolous. It all got dropped. And so it was like, but I'm just on the inside, God, you know, I know I've forgiven these folks, but why am I bleeding on the inside? And the Lord, then that's when the Lord began to show me the things I'm going to tell you tonight, except just go a little further in advance. He said, son, you've forgiven, but you've got to expose your heart to me, because your heart's been wounded in the house of your friends. And then he took me to Zechariah chapter 13, verse 6 and 7. And one will say to him, what are these wounds between your arms? And he'll answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. And in fact, Dale Gentry had a prophecy in one of those 5:42 in the morning, and of course it was downtown, but I was sitting over here, and he spoke to this man. He said, "Stand up, sir. I've got a word for you." And the Lord said, "Take this. It's yours." And he gave him this word: "You've been wounded in the house of your friends." Wow. And God healed my heart. He began to heal our hearts. He told us, you know, you need to go to these meetings. And that's when we first connected with Andrew Womack in a meaningful way. He had been to our church, but Pastor Bob and Joy took us to the mountains, and we got connected there, and we found our true friends there, and God began to restore us and heal us there. But what we were doing was we were letting God help us to guard our hearts so that the issues, the borders and boundaries of our lives would not be restricted. Are you hearing me? Now I'm going to come back to you here in just a minute, so don't think I'm going to get off of you. All right? Because I came with an assignment tonight for the Lord to heal some broken hearts. And you know what? You can be in that way for a long time and be stuck like Chuck. Are you hearing me? And during that time, he led us to connect with his body here at Calvary. He renewed and restored what was going on in our hearts in Decatur. And man, God just did a wonderful work in our hearts, and he wants to do the same thing for you. And you go back to Hebrews chapter 12, he says, you let it be healed. You let it be healed. You rather be healed. And he goes on to say, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Pursuing peace has to do with your horizontal relationships. And he's saying, look, if you don't deal with the horizontal relationships, it's going to hinder your vision. It's going to impair your intimacy with the Lord, because you're letting for unforgiveness and that wound in your heart stop you. And then he said, looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. All of this, if you don't let your heart get healed, you fall short of the grace of God. How many of you know that's not good? You fall short of the grace of God, and then root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by this many become defiled. And we've got to realize that what causes a broken, shattered heart is rejection, betrayal, persecution. It could be the death of a loved one. It could be a divorce, a loss of a job. It can be any of these things. And most situations that cause a broken heart are the result of some loss or pain that we have encountered. And so I shared my story with you this morning about last November. We were in Florida, and then I ended up in the hospital with sepsis and double pneumonia, and I found out from Dr. Vaughn today. I mean, sepsis is worse than what I thought, and we didn't even want to look it up what it was, but I was supernaturally healed. I was going down for the count, and from a Wednesday night to a Friday night, and I mean everything was bad. I mean my white blood cell count was just sky high, which was probably from the sepsis, and I guess Dr. Vaughn was saying that the double pneumonia can cause that sepsis. But then I didn't tell you this. My leg, this leg, was inflamed about twice, double the size, and it was red. They were really concerned. They were really concerned about this leg, and I mean it was just all kinds of stuff that the enemy was pulling. And on Friday night, and then those friends, you guys were praying. My friends came in. The kingdom of God came in through your prayers. Philippians 1:19, I know that this shall turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit. I know I felt like we were carried by the Lord. And the kingdom of God came in, and in one day, I mean one day, this is so supernatural, guys. And this doctor's standing at my feet 24 hours later, and he's just shaking his head. Mr. Moore, doctors are pretty busy, and he just stood there at the end of my bed, and he's just shaking his head, and I can't figure this out. I do not know what to attribute this to, because last night your oxygen level was 78. Look up here, it's 92, and we've been taking all these blood things, and I mean one of them was in the artery, and dear Jesus, that hurt. I mean there were all kinds of I mean, they were. I was a pincushion, and they were taking all this blood. And he said, and we take an extra test today. I said, thanks, doctor. I don't know if I have any blood left for you to. But he said, we can't find any infection in your body. The white blood cell count. And then my blood pressure was normal, and it was down to 55 over 40, and that wasn't good. And so supernaturally, we came out of that, and praise God, man. I mean, I haven't been. I mean, I was a little weak, but I haven't had pneumonia, and I haven't, and praise God, I'm not going to since. Amen. But I was at a. We started. We waited about three months or, yeah, something like that. So before we started going out again, and so we were at Jerry and Ernie Garcia's. Y'all know Jerry and Ernie? They're good friends. Just really good friends of ours. We were doing a Bible college graduation down in Mexico, and then we went to their place in Pachuca outside of Mexico City, and Janice and I did a marriage seminar there with Jerry and Ernie. And Jerry and Ernie started talking about just the year before that was at the same time or no it was a little bit earlier. Then what happened was he went to Columbia, and he's been doing crusades and all kinds of things. He's a pastor, but he's also doing crusades in Mexico. And so he came back from Columbia, and his arm started swelling up twice its size, and his voice left him. All he could do is speak above a whisper. And it had happened this way for 3 months, almost 4 months, and then I mean that's tough for a preacher, for somebody called to minister. And so it got worse, and he couldn't talk. And they went did tests. They thought it was gout, but it wasn't. They couldn't find what it was. And then Jerry is back in his house. In his Frady hole, just up, and he's getting depressed, and he's getting down. I know we don't ever tell you this that we do, and then so Ernie came in one day. She'd been praying for him, and she came in one day, and she said, "Now I don't know what you're going to do right now, but I'm going shopping. But when I get back, I better find my husband." I better find my husband, because this is not my husband. And he, she went shopping, and he started digging around, and he picked out one of his messages, and he put it in, and God started dealing with him, and God started speaking to him. And I'm listening to him while he's talking about this, and all of a sudden he said, "I saw what happened. They had two of their daughters that they had serious problems with, and one of them had said some things and done some things that just, it hurt his heart. And his heart got hurt. And some things happened that just, he let his heart get hurt. It's not the issue about what his daughter said. It was really more about what happened to him. And all of a sudden, it was like the dam just started breaking, because I saw at the end of October, just about this time, well, no, it was later, it was the end of October, we had a major deal with a close family member. I mean, it was heart-wrenching. And we've been busy. We've been traveling. We've been going. We've been doing all this stuff. And I didn't take time to process that. And I let my heart get hurt. I let my heart get broken. I let my heart stop me. I didn't see it at the time. And when Jerry was talking about that, and you know, and what Jerry did is he went and put that in and started preach. He started preaching to himself, and Ernie came back and he was up doing the dishes and doing things, and I mean, his arm started getting better, his voice started coming back. So the issue was his heart. It wasn't what happened with his daughter. Was that he let his heart get hurt, and he let that which was lame dislodge him from his purpose and from his healing. Are you hearing me? And it's exactly what God showed Janice and I. That's what happened to us the end of October last year. And you know, and it's not my family members. I'm not blaming them. I'm telling you what happened disappointed us. It hurt us. It was something we couldn't control. And I didn't take the time to let my heart be healed. And it dislodged me for a time. It dislodged me for a time from my own healing. Are you hearing me? Did you know, guys, that can happen to you? Did you know that can happen? Yeah. And so, you know, now, if something like that happens, and there's been things that have happened since then, and it's like Janice and I, we're helping one another. Don't take that into your heart. You let God heal your heart from that. We help make each other accountable. But guys, it can happen to all of us. It can happen at work. It can happen, you know, at home. It can happen with a family member. It could happen here at Calvary. It could happen, you know, through, it's going to be through someone who's close to us. And if we don't deal with and prosper, let our hearts prosper, our souls prosper, what will happen is that which is lame will become dislodged. Dislodged from intimacy with God, because right here we see that if you don't pursue peace with all men, now you can't control them how they respond to you, but you've got to deal with it as far as your part. Otherwise, you won't see the Lord clearly. It will impact your intimacy with God, and it'll dislodge you from purpose. It'll dislodge you from relationships. It'll dislodge you from church. And there's some people that have let themselves be dislodged from their church relationships because of what's gone on in their hearts. Are you hearing me? And we made the decision. God, when that happened, all right, Lord, we're going to let our... You see, it's up to us to let our heart be healed. It's not somebody else's fault. You know, I mean, I'm sorry what's happened to you, but you've got to let God heal your heart. If you know that you're lame emotionally or spiritually, don't let your lameness become dislodged, cause you to get dislodged. And here's what I want to pray for you tonight, okay? But here's how I want, this is what God showed me, how you can tell whether you're healed or not. Now let's just read this again before I go on and tell you this. Verse 12, therefore strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that which is lame may not be what? Dislocated. That means to be dislodged. Okay? But rather let it be healed. Right? That's on you. That's on me. That's our responsibility. Pursue peace with all people. Why would I need to pursue peace with all people? Then why is that in there? Because it's people who are going to cause us to be hurt. And I've got to pursue peace with them in holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. If you let what people have done dislodge you from your purpose and your relationship with people, it's going to hinder your ability to see God and hear God clearly. You see that? And then looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, then I come short of the grace of God. How many of you know that's not good? And then root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and many become defiled. Now here's how you can tell whether or not you're healed. All right, these are just some things I'm just going to give you. I don't have them on the screen or anything. These are some things that God's taught me to, you know, since all this time. I've been meditating on this, and I don't want to go through that again. That is no fun. Because what I discovered was, Janice and I both had to admit, when Jerry and Ernie were talking about what happened to them, that's what happened to us. And I let my heart get wounded, and I didn't take the time to let it get healed. And then it gave place to the enemy to open the door, like Andrew says, to eat your lunch and pop the bag. So here's how you can tell whether, these are just some of the ways that you can tell whether you're healed or not. Number one, have you allowed this event, this loss, this pain, the betrayal, to dislodge you from key relationships in your life? Have you allowed whatever event it was, or loss it was, or betrayal or pain, have you allowed that to dislodge you from key relationships in your life? Like the church, your mate, from a close friend, from God, even? And have they remained dislodged? Again, you can't control. All you can do is offer reconciliation with people, but you can't control that. But in your heart, have they remained dislodged? Have you forgiven them? And is your relationship with God vibrant or distant? Is it vibrant or distant? In your devotional times, does revelation flow freely, or do you find it difficult to hear from God? If you're dislodged from key relationships, it's going to cause you to feel distant in your relationship with God. And are your key horizontal relationships emotionally healthy, or are they toxic? Are you hearing me?
Yeah, good.
Now, you got to be willing to forgive people no matter what they've done to you. But if you don't, your vision's going to be impaired, and you're going to fall short of the grace of God. Now, those are all questions of part one. Part two, have you allowed this event to dislodge you from your purpose? And you know when... Have you allowed it to dislodge you from your purpose? And you know this has happened when you've lost your joy and vision. And I don't care how old or young you are. God's put vision in each one of us, and hope and expectation until the end. Are you hearing me? Look, the Apostle John was 90 on the Isle of Patmos. And he could wear the T-shirt, "Been there, done that, heard that, know that." Right? Truth? I mean, he was with Jesus. He was pastor of the church at Ephesus for a while. This guy had awesome ministry. Now he's on the Isle of Patmos, isolated, alone, very few people as far as we know, and with no sense of purpose and hope, and yet Jesus came. And he's 90 years old besides. And Jesus came to John on the Isle of Patmos with a new assignment. The book of Revelation. So don't give me this garbage that he's all finished with you. And when you're 60 or 70 or 80 or 90. But your assignment might change. You may not do what you did before like John. But he had a new assignment for him. And I'm telling you, God's got new assignments for us. But we can't let our hearts be broken. We got to let them be healed. Now, you can't force it. I know you can't force it. I'm not talking about forcing your emotions. But you've got to let it be healed, because God's got purpose for you. He's got a hope for you. He's got a vision for you. He's got new assignments for you. He's got new doors that he's opening for you that no man will shut. He's got new relationships for you. But if you don't let your heart be healed, and I know, again, you can't, I'm not saying you force it, but you've got to let it. You've got to allow him. Lord, I'm going to just, and that's where we were. That's where we were in 1994. God, you know, heal our hearts. And then that's where we were recently. And God heal our hearts, and he's done it. I said, he's done it. Have you allowed this event to dislodge you from your purpose? God's got purpose for you. Look at your neighbor and say, God's got purpose for you. Amen. And he's not done with you yet. Guys, he's not done with you. It might be a new assignment, but that's okay. Is that all right? He's not done with you. Sometimes we hold on to an old assignment, and God's got a brand new assignment. You can't find the new one until you let go of the old one. And I'm not saying let it go if God's not telling you to let it go. But I mean, God's got new things for you. Open doors, new ministries, new horizons. But you can't see it. You can't see it. You can't discover it. You can't. If you get dislodged from your purpose because of your heart being healed, it's the issues and borders and boundaries of your life get restricted if you don't let your heart get healed. And then number three, are you still playing the blame game? You're holding that person that said that or did that or responsible for your loss, or are you holding them responsible for the lack of spiritual progress since that event took place? You know, when I was over that large African ministry several years ago, and then the guy fired me because of the success that we were having, and he just wasn't ready to let it go. You know, man, it would have been easy for me to sue him or, you know, blame him for, you know, all this stuff. But God told me he had a new assignment for me, and I made a decision. That guy who fired me can't stop me from my new assignment. And then I transitioned from there. In 7 weeks, I was with Andrew Womack. And now I've got influence all over the world. I mean, my books are going all over the world. And I mean, it's like, it's amazing the influence that God's given me. I mean, I'm pinching myself, really. From Decatur, Texas. Really, I mean, come on. John, you've been there. I mean, it's like, you know, can anything good come from Decatur? And it's like, man, I'm pinching myself. But, you know, if I had played the blame game with that guy, I'm convinced I never would have entered into what God has for me now. And look, it's not worth it, guys. Let it go. 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 Amen. I got Samuel in with me on that one. Praise God. Whenever that event comes up, where do your thoughts and your focus go? You know, our enemy is not, Ephesians 6:12, our enemy is not flesh and blood. That is not our enemy. Yeah, can the devil use people? Yeah, but so does God. And I've got the airport in sight. We're about to land, okay? So don't get, is this okay? Is this helpful? Look, guys, I'm telling you, when Jerry and Ernie talked about that at that marriage conference, you could have blew me away with a feather. It was like, man, I just started weeping. I can't believe. I didn't see it, but I saw it then. And now I'm understanding. I've got to guard my heart. Amen? Where is this fight in your heart and mind? Let me tell you something. Whether it's at work, it could be here at the church. I hope it's not, but it could be in a personal relationship. It could be wherever. Let me tell you something. That whoever that person is, that sandpaper person or that person that's causing you problems, listen, guys, they're not your problem.
That's right.
No, they're not your problem. You just think they're your problem. They're your opportunity. They're your opportunity to respond like Jesus. They're your opportunity to respond. Let the kingdom of God come. The kingdom of God is not just in power, but it's in the power and authority of Jesus' nature. Let the kingdom of God come. Instead of you being all stirred up, a sound heart is life to the body, but envy, jealousy, anger, all that stuff, that's rottenness to your bones. Yeah? And then do you see yourself as a victim from that loss or event? Do you see yourself as a victim? Are you stuck in a time warp of the pain of that event? I've shared this with you before, but I'm not going to turn over there, but Matthew 24, Jesus said in the last days, many will become offended. And then they'll betray many, hate many, false prophets rise, deception, lawlessness, and cold love. It's a downward spiral when people become offended. Jesus said offenses are going to come, but when they come, don't make sure that you don't become offended. If you watch this now. Now we've got a Charis Bible College here in Fort Worth, but when an offense comes, Jesus said they're going to come. You can't help it; it's going to happen. People are going to disappoint you, and it's going to be usually people that are close to you. And so when it happens, guys, here's the thing: you got to be careful. Don't let, when an offense comes, don't let your heart become offended. If your heart becomes offended, you enroll in the school of false prophets. And you learn their ways of betrayal, hatred, deception, lawlessness, and cold love. You just look at Matthew 24, it's all right there. And so it's another way to say you've dislodged yourself from God's purpose. Are you listening to me? And so I'm not a victim. I'm a victor. Say I'm not a victim. I'm a victor. And I'm not seeing myself that way. And I'm not going to let, when an offense comes, I'm not going to let myself get stuck in a time warp of my pain. I'm not going to become offended. But an offense that comes is an event that happens to you. Becoming offended is an address that you're located spiritually. Are you hearing me? Then, finally, have you found things that you can be thankful for in the memory of that loss? Have you found things you can be thankful for in the memory of that loss? Whenever you in the middle of that, in the middle of that loss, I mean, in the middle of that pain, can you find something to be thankful for? If you want your heart to be healed, that's what you've got to do. That's what 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything, give thanks. Not for everything, in everything. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God. What's the will of God? Giving thanks in everything. Not the everything. That's not the will of God. It's that in the middle of that, you can give God thanks. There is something, if you let, and again, this is another way to say the kingdom of God is coming, because, give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich because of what the Lord has done for us. Give thanks. Let's stand up together. Now, you know, we're going to sing that again. And I just want, I want you to, you have to ask the Lord to show you your heart the way He sees it. If there's been a wound, if there's been a hurt, if there's been something there, and Jesus is the healer of the brokenhearted. Are you hearing me? And He'll heal you. Amen? He'll heal your heart, and then He'll heal your body. And you get back where you're connected with your purpose. You're connected with your vision. You're connected with intimacy with God. You're connected with blessing others. And whenever you think about that event, you give thanks. Amen? Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks. Because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Because of what the Lord has done. Thank you for your power, for your glory. Father, thank you for your presence in our lives. I thank you, Father, right now. You're healing broken hearts. Put your hand on your heart if you need healing for your heart. In Jesus' name, I release to you the anointing that heals the brokenhearted. I release to you healing in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. 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 Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We worship you, Lord. Praise God. You know, I just feel to do this. I know it's a little late, but I feel that there's some people that just need hands laid on them, so that we can agree with you, okay? And Jesus is going to, look, it's the same thing with the healing power of God. The healing power of God in your heart is the same way. It comes the same way. The kingdom of God comes, light comes in, the kingdom of darkness goes out. Some of you, I can feel this. I can feel some of you are still in pain over what happened. But I'm telling you, the Lord will turn that. He'll turn your night into morning, and your darkness into joy. Amen. He's going to cause you to dance again. Praise God. He's going to cause you to dance again. So if that's you, I want you to, you know who you are. Just come up to the front. Just get along the front here. We're going to lay hands on you. Janice, you come and help me. Dr. Vaughn, would you come and help me?